Ohero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. Ohero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. Ohero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find Ohero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
It's here, the new site for clean food, home delivery, organichealthymeat.com. Visit our new store, and for a very short time, enter to win the $100,000 in clean food sweepstakes, plus get 30% off your first order. Organichealthymeat.com reduces the high cost of organic food that wipes out GMO. Go now to redeem your 30% reward and enter the $100,000 clean food sweepstakes. Clean foods can be affordable. Check out organichealthymeat.com. Healthy living, clean food, delivered to your door. Organichealthymeat.com. Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. So, myself, Captain Travis Shakel in the studio.
Hey, hey, hey.
Dude, do not do that anymore.
Please stop.
Anymore. He's been in Colorado too long.
Stop the madness.
We got Captain Jason Prieto back in the house and the big man, Big Rick. A.K.A. the wind dancer.
Hey, hey, hey.
And there has been plenty of wind to be dancing in, Rick.
There has been today.
There was yesterday. There was plenty of it, Bubba.
Oh, come on. You guys are wussies.
We was dancing.
Hey, hey, the fishing's been good, though. I will say that. The fishing has been good. It has definitely been productive. A little bit windy, but it has been good, guys. And
we're going to talk a little bit today about etiquette and markers, whether Travis wants me to or
not. Oh, gosh.
No, we're gonna do more than just complain.
We're gonna
talk to people about what to do at the marker, what's right, what's technically wrong, and you know what happens,
what the results are,
and what the results are. I think it's a great show. We're gonna open the show.
We're gonna open the show. It has been good.
I'm hoping Danny can text me a report. He went to Crystal River to do some Florida Guides Association work.
He did.
And I can't remember what he was going for because I was at the gym when he called me today. But he's going there to do some work for us fishing guys and recreational guys.
Yes, sir.
And, thank you, Danny. And anybody else that fishes for a living should be thanking because it's, you know, this is the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens with the Florida Guys Association.
That's
and
right.
NACO. There's a lot of meetings and a lot of stuff that goes into.
Well, and you touched on fishing for a living, but more importantly, Jason, the recreational guys. I mean, really, it's for everybody that utilizes the fishery in Florida because we operate under recreational, you know, regulations. So while they're fighting, it kind of runs hand in hand. With what we're out there doing for the Florida Guides Association, it really benefits both sides in a lot of different instances. And I think that's a big part that probably a lot of people don't understand as far as what the actual organization or the association is doing is we're trying to protect the rights of recreational fishermen, because that's basically what we have to live by.
And we fall under the same.
Right, access to certain areas, you know, take limits, seasons, all the size limits, all those different types of things that we are out there working for. It really boils down to any Joe Blow that runs out there and goes fishing. They're doing the same thing. So we just have a little more probably what I'd say maybe a vested interest in it. Because we do make a living at it, but at the end of the day, it really applies to everybody.
Absolutely.
So,
but when you hear Florida Guides Association, you know, as an average angler, you probably are led to think, well, this is something for those guys.
Right.
But it is an association for us, but the main focus is everyone, and we try to you know, voice an opinion on matters that are good for everyone, not for us. Because if it's good for everyone, it will be good for us.
Absolutely. What is, and I'm going to say this and take it for what it is, what is kind of sad with the industry is how many people are not involved, choose not to get involved. And a lot of it is just, you know, what are they doing for me mentality.
That's the American mentality.
And I would tell you firsthand, some of the Florida Guys Association's problem is they're doing a lot, but they're not letting people know what they're doing. And that's something that we're working on that I've kind of brought up as a solution. Guys, we're doing stuff, but the average Joe doesn't know we're doing stuff, and they just think we're an organization taking $110 a month from them and giving them a couple of discounts.
Right.
And that is not the case. I mean, I can tell you that I sit on the board, and I didn't know what happened until I got on the board, and now I see the behind-the-scenes stuff. I'll tell you right now, Charlie Phillips is one of the nicest guys I know, a true professional, and what he gets out of the Florida Guides Association and what he puts in it, I mean, if you look at it from that aspect,
he's not making money.
No, it's a waste.
He ain't getting
of
nothing.
It really is. You have to go beyond, I'm going to make money, but you have to take the mentality, you have to have the mental mindset of, I want to make a difference in the industry, and I want to do something productive. Because while you might be good at fishing, some of these people don't even want you to fish. So as good as you are at fishing, especially if you're making a living doing it, if you don't go fight these battles, you are not going to be able to fish.
That's right.
And, I mean, that's as simple as it comes right there. So anyways, you know, thanks to Danny for going out, taking his day.
Absolutely.
And putting in the time there. It was an annual FWC quarterly meeting that he goes to, and they go over a multitude of things. And I was going to call him. I think he was still in the meeting to figure it out. But, it's good stuff. It's just, you know, people don't realize what goes into that. So and it's not just guides. Again, we fall under the same criteria for the most part as the recreational anglers. So these are things that need to, unfortunately, there's politics in everything in life, including fishing. And if we don't fight this stuff, you know, it's going to be a mess. Good example, go look at the grouper and the red snapper regulations.
Right.
I mean, we as recreational anglers are getting hosed, absolutely hosed on that deal. And you know why? Because there's a commercial market, and the commercial guys get lobbyists involved because they have big money wrapped up in that.
Quotas.
And they get their quotas.
The answer to every question is money.
100%. 100%. 100%.
But my point being is we have to get involved in even recreational guys that are hardcore anglers, get involved. You know what I've learned too, Rick, is you'll learn a lot about species. You go to these meetings, it's more than just a bunch of crap that nobody wants to deal with, quite frankly. But you'll learn a lot of stuff. And I've said this on the air multiple times. The Snook Symposium, one of the best things I've ever done in my guiding career. It was one day out of my time. I made some recommendations in front of the board. Heard a lot of stupid stuff, in my opinion. I heard some good things, and I learned a ton about the species. It made me a better snook fisherman.
Absolutely.
Honestly. And I'm more educated. And for me, that was value because when I talk to customers about snook and why the limits are, which is, we all know is an issue, when you go catch 30 snook, you're like, why can't we keep any of these? But when you understand their growth process and how they reproduce, it just makes it all around better. So you'll learn some stuff. Just, you know, take a little time and invest back into the industry.
For our vantage point, it's also good to be able to pass some of that knowledge along to the people we have on our boats. I didn't go to the last Snook Symposium, but I went to the one they had years ago, and one of the things that I learned, and I learned a lot, but the one of the things I learned that sticks in my mind is that a big snook, and when I say big snook, I'm talking a slot, overslot snook, can go 60 days without eating. Now, that's hard for me to comprehend.
That's a long time.
A small snook can go 30 to 40 days without eating. So when you're sitting on a bunch of snook and you're chumming them and you can see them and they're not eating, keep that in mind. That's what I tell people. I'm like, well, you know, they may not eat today because they can go this long. They can go that long.
They might eat this month.
They might not. That's right. But, and that's all, you know, that's studies they've done in a controlled environment, because this all came from a one of the scientists there. But that study's done in a controlled environment with water temps down low. And, you know, we're never going to see those water temps for 60 days to keep a big snook from eating. We're not going to see that. But it can happen.
Or a bat full of chummers flying over their face.
But what I'm saying is, I guess it could happen, but it's not likely. But if it does happen, those fish will be fine. It's when it gets colder where that will mess them up. But they can go a long time without eating.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the fish, you know, let's round it back up here and just say that the fishing has been really good the last few days. I've been on the water, and we'll get into some more reports here. It looks like we're coming up. We're going to have to take a little break here in a second. But I do want to talk about some of the fishing because, in my opinion, man, from a fishing perspective, spring is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Spring's here. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to blow the bubble and curse us with another cold front, but I'm seeing spring stuff. I mean, I haven't been fishing the flats yet, but as far as the water temperatures and the bait situation and even the fishing in general, it's looking like spring, man. But we'll talk about that, you know, a little bit more here in the next segment. We're going to have Rick coming up. He's going to do tides and weather. But real quick, I want to give another big shout-out to Tampa Fishing Outfitters for supporting us. They're a great company. If you haven't been down there, go check them out. Humpback cast nets, Daiwa Fishing, Cactus Juice, Power Pole. All these companies are really helping us out this year and help us out on a daily basis. So if you haven't checked them out, go check them out. Guys, we got a lot more fishing to talk about. In the meantime, we're going to hear a few words from our sponsors. And when we get back, we're going to have tides and weather from Captain Rick. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk 1040 Team. We'll be right back.
It's the third annual All In for Type Non-Casino Night, benefiting JDRF on Saturday, February 18th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center in Tampa. In an effort to find a cure for juvenile diabetes and turn type 1 into type non, this fun night will not only be great entertainment, it'll also raise funds for a great cure. The evening features Master of Ceremony Reginald Roundtree from 10 News, plus live music from an amazing all-star band. Help turn type 1 into type non. Go to jdrf.org/Tampa Bay or email drivers@jdf.org.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you would like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
At
Tides and Weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back. Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. Myself, Captain Travis Yackel in the studios. Big Rick, the weatherman. Going to give us some weather. And
Ron Burgundy.
And we got our man, Captain Jason Prieto.
Yes, sir.
The snow princess. We're going to have a couple good stories from the snowland.
It was fun, but, man. I had one bad fall. Kind of scared me. Got my leg back a little bit. But nothing popped, and I got up.
A success.
It was a great trip. For you guys didn't know, I took off to Breckenridge, Colorado, did some snowboarding, took a few days off guys' trip. It was awesome, man. We do it every year, and you know, kids and wife and all that stay at home, and somehow or another I pulled this off. I guess I have a pretty nice wife.
Yes, you do.
She lets me go. So guys' trip, you know, some high school buddies go, but it's fun. We just probably did a little damage to my body, you know, fireball at night and snowboard during the day. But,
hey, you know what? Gotta do what you gotta do.
3 days of partying, I felt 40.
Yeah.
Even 40, 39. I actually added a year because I felt 40, even though I'm only 39.
Puppies.
But
just puppies.
Well, Rick, tell us what kind of weather we got there.
All right. Well, for Sunday, this is your weather. It's going to be high of 79, low is 57. We're going to have winds out of the south at 5 to 10. And as far as our tides go, low tide's at 10:20 in the morning, and it's a 0.10. And the high tide is at 4:32, and it's a 1.38. So decent tides, not great tides, decent tides.
Have a new moon.
The weather's going to be good with the temperatures, and the winds are going to be light enough that it shouldn't bother anything. And I like fishing the south wind, so... it's gonna be good. I actually have an afternoon trip on Sunday, so that
winds out of the south, the fish open their mouth.
Dude, that hole. Winds out of the east, the fish bite least.
Winds out of the west, the fish bite the best.
Hey, this is how I look at it. Winds out of the east, I'm on the south shore, I'm good to go. Winds out of the west, I'm in trouble.
I don't care which way the wind's blowing. It's just gonna determine where I'm gonna be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never understood that analogy too much. I
was supposed to give the Salooners this week, and had a little trouble with my app.
Yeah.
Had a little trouble getting the app
that's
going. I'll have the Salooners next
phone.
Week.
Rick's having some trouble with his flip phone here. Right.
But it's a challenge that I can conquer, and next week we'll have Salooners.
You just wait till Rick's got
to
run the
go buy a Farmer's Almanac.
He's on it, man.
Wait till Rick's got to run the software. We're doomed.
Oh, boy.
No, I got to take a
He's
picture of that so I know how to hook it all
He's
up.
He's got it.
I
got
to take a picture of that with my Polaroid so I know how to use it.
Click.
Well, guys, let's talk a little fishing. Let's talk a little fishing because I've been fishing quite a bit. I've been excited, man. I mean, the fishing has been really good. We've been catching big numbers of snook. Got on a trout bite here this last week that has been really good. No big trout. I mean, Jason, you got a nice trout today. You got a big boy trout.
Speak for yourself.
We're getting numbers. We've had numbers. We're catching a lot of trout. Some trout finally moved in an area that I normally look for, you know, trout fishing in the wintertime, and they finally moved in, and today we probably caught, I don't know, 20, 22, 23 trout, somewhere around in there, and then added up with another 20 snook or so, all on a four-hour trip on a pretty poor tide, really. I mean, it wasn't the best tide, but it seems like any little bit of water moving here in the last probably week or so has really triggered a pretty decent bite. Getting around these winds, these south winds have kind of been a little gnarly, but tucking up behind some islands and fishing some deeper edges of some of these ponds, I like to call them. And there's been quite a few fish stacking up. And bait, you know, bait's been really easy the last week or so.
We're still catching white bait, guys.
You know,
I mean,
piles of bait stacked up on only a handful of markers. It's not everywhere. But and from day to day, it's been moving around. Depending on the tide and depending on the wind, some markers may be a little easier to get bait on than some of the other ones. But for the most part, you know, all the markers or most of the markers, the normal markers that we get bait on, have been holding bait. And the cool thing is that This morning I went out, and it took me about, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes to catch bait. I threw the net twice. It took me longer to clean up. But I had baits from, you know, 2 inches all the way up to mammos, you know, primos that were,
nice,
you know, 5 inches or so, you know.
Nice,
so
yes, they mixed in with those we call
trout. Yeah, so that was a really cool thing, especially this time of year, because sometimes you want that little bit bigger bait. Sometimes you want a little bit smaller bait. It just depends on, you know, what they're feeding on. But to trigger some of those bigger or those larger fish to bite, sometimes it does take a little bit bigger, you know, bait. And so it's nice to have a kind of an assortment of baits. And so everything is falling right in line to looking like we're going to have a pretty good spring. I'm hoping that we don't have any other substantial cold fronts, because I think the fish are going to start to soon try to make their way out of some of the river systems and some of these backwater bays that they've been sitting in for our quote-unquote winter. And I hope we don't get a sudden smash. I hope we don't get a smash of a cold front, you know, a big one that puts a hit on them. But I think it's been good, man. I'm really excited to be doing some fishing, busy the next, you know, really 2 months of some good fishing. So I'm excited for it.
I'll tell you this. I think that these fish are in between. I mean, they're not real. There's some on the flats. There's some in the river. We're in a river pattern, but almost a spring pattern. We're somewhere in between. It's just been different. And it's not a bad thing, but it has been a little challenging. The best advice that I can give you fishing every day is read your water temperature. If it's 72, 73 degrees, you probably need to make your way to the flats. If you're reading in the mid-60s to low-60s after a cold front, start pushing up in the river systems and residential docks and stuff like that, because I really think these fish are moving in and out.
I don't think they're going on to the flats yet, though.
I don't think they're ready to go yet.
There ain't no bait out there
but
for them.
Exactly.
I've caught some fish in the backcountry.
You were dreaming on that.
I'm telling you, I caught them.
I'm joking. The backcountries I'll buy. The flats I want.
I haven't. When I say flats,
that's what I meant.
There has been some fish, and there has been some redfish running the flats. There has been some redfish running the flats on the edges of the bars.
There's trout out there, too.
That's where, if you're going to do some flats fishing, I would say that right now is a good time to get out and do some sight fishing for some reds.
Okay, time out.
He's got to eat him up.
Define flats.
Define flats.
Yes, define flats.
I'm going to say that when I think of a flat, I'm going to say exterior of any backcountry. In other words,
three foot of water or less.
No. Flat water depth.
No, it's not water depth.
Geographical area.
Yes, I'm with you on that, Rick. With you on that. So, like, in other words, let's take an area from, let's say, Cockroach Bay.
Outside of any
interior islands is going to be considered your flats.
I knew I was bothering him with that.
Once you get back behind an island, you're starting to get backcountry.
That's backcountry.
I agree.
Flats.
That is not
flats. I was more general. You're just being technical as usual.
Hey, look.
No, backcountry and flats are different, bro.
It's way different.
I'm an engineer.
It's way different, man.
100%.
Whatever. Same type of water. You have open flats. That's where the fish normally travel. That's where they normally migrate through. You know, that's where they move from place to place. Normally, once they get back in the backcountry, they're normally settled down or hunkered down in certain areas. Normally a springtime thing, you know?
Whatever, man.
But listen.
Go to the flats. Go to the backcountry. Leave the flats alone for just a little bit. Let some bait creep up there.
You call it what you want to there, Slick.
Anyway,
snowbird.
We'll go ahead and be technical and say backcountry. But some of your passes and your cuts and crevices or whatever else you want to call
the chambers,
the crevices,
the bomb holes. Listen here, Skeeter Ditch, okay? Don't start making fun of me.
That is a real term. That's a real term.
If you're in Ruskin,
Skeeter Ditches are just a little bit. They're just a little bit.
How about mosquito
smaller
ditch?
Than creeks? No, they're not mosquito ditches.
It's a skeeter ditch.
Where are you from?
Whatever. Where are you from is the question.
Hey, come on, brother.
Too much time in Breckenridge.
Too much time in Popies over here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Skeeter ditches, son.
So the passes anywhere with a little bit deeper water with tide movement. How about that?
That's perfect.
Now I take a day off and these guys start beating up on me here.
You've been gone a week. I think you should have everything you
do. I did.
Huh?
I did.
That's good.
But I tell you, this past week, guys, I caught some nice trout. Didn't catch a bunch of them, but we got some studs.
You did get a pig.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I haven't caught a trout this big in a while.
That was big.
And so it's glad to see that we have a few big trout.
And he did release that fish. That fish is back. That's awesome.
That is a baby maker
right
there.
That's a baby maker right there.
She is making it rain right now.
Yes.
So, but there's some bigger trout starting to show up. But it's still, guys, I will say this. Stuart Ames gave me a report up in the Clearwater area. He said they're doing really good on trout. Nice trout. So it's good to hear that that area is holding trout good. But I think Brett Norris was still kind of on the fence with, and they've got a very good trout fishery over in St. Pete.
Yeah, and, it's been a real hit and miss. Like I said, I've been on a really good trout bite the last, I don't know, what's that been, about 5-6 days now. And they're sitting in a couple different areas, but there's a large population of them, which is nice. These aren't bigger fish. These are your schoolie fish, anywhere from, I'd say, 13. Biggest one we caught was like 21 inches or so. But there's quite a few of them, so it's been nice to see them. But it's literally a concentrated area of one big knot of trout.
It is.
You get outside of that, and you're kind of out of the zone, you know?
We caught some of those fish yesterday, and I said, well, no, you did. And I watched a guy fish the same before I even went over there to that area. I watched a guy fishing those fish with shrimp and a popping cork, and he zeroed.
Yeah.
He fished it for about 45 minutes, and he zeroed. And you and I kind of met on opposite sides of that. And you had a better bite than I did. We didn't catch as many keepers. I don't know how many fish you caught. We caught a lot of fish. We didn't catch that many keepers. I think we had three keepers. And
we happened to land right on, and I went back there today, and literally it's just a spot.
But their whitebait, what I was getting at is that they wanted that whitebait.
They did.
They did not want them
shrimp. They did. They wanted to be chummed hard. So did the birds.
So did the birds.
But, well, guys, we're flying by. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about still. The birds are flying by. Next segment we got coming up is going to be the Come On Man. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk, 1040 The Team. Hang tight, hear a few words from the sponsors, and we'll be right back, guys.
Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And welcome back, boys and girls, men and ladies, guys, girls of all sizes. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is in the studios again.
missed it last.
Bailey Circus.
Yes, sir. Hey, we need to liven the crowd up a little bit here. Get Captain Rick over here, Big Country. And then we got Shorty. Travis.
Little Napoleon.
Travis. America.
Dude.
Guys, you're listening to the show. If you're just tuning in, I think we're on our third segment already. We're cranking through the show. And this is the Come On Man segment. And I've got the Come On Man, but it's actually going to lead into our third segment, education on why, if you do these things, you won't be on the Come On Man.
You get into the etiquette.
Going to roll into the etiquette. Right. But I'm going to start into the
etiquette. I know where this is going.
We're out there, and of course, there are some markers still holding bait, and you know, there's a few of them that got bait, and I was out there minding my own. Another captain was out there getting bait. He got done. I kind of sat back on the trolling motor, put the rod in an anchor mode, and held back. He got done, and so I and he was rodeoing the bait, and I particularly don't like to rodeo bait. And I was like, I mean, I do it, but I'd just rather set up, chum, whack it real good instead of throwing four or five more times. Anyways, he got done, got in place. This guy comes with a jet boat, music blaring. They roll up to the marker. Any bait here? I'm like, yeah, there's a little bit. I'm just thinking, oh boy. So the wind's kind of blowing, and the dude pulls out the first thing we tell everybody every other week not to do. Pulls out the old 6-foot net. Now keep in mind, it's like a 24-foot jet boat, and the wind's blowing out of the east at about 15 to 20. I'm on the east side of the marker because obviously I'm upwind, and I'm throwing the 12-footer. And he sees me get it. I'm like, oh, here we go. So, dude rolls up.
Did you tell him that 6-footer ain't no match?
I did. I did. I said, listen, that's. He comes up and he tries to throw on the side of the marker. It gets better, Travis. Don't worry. Trust me when I tell you. He throws the net. And the 6-foot net opens up to about 3 foot. And the bait's on the bottom. So, I'm just like, I looked. I said, listen, man, you're not going to get bait with that net. I just told him. I was like, because he kept coming up. So, then the wind kept blowing the bow around because it was catching it sideways. So then they proceed to come about 2 foot from the side of my boat, and I'm anchored up.
That's when you just get the dip down and go here.
No, hold on. Time out. It gets better, Travis. They proceed to back into the marker. He's going to throw off the back of the boat.
Oh, yeah.
With the exhaust in the jet drive, blowing the marker out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Did this 5 times. And I said, if you give me 10 minutes, I will be out of your way. And he was, oh, we're good, man. He's on vacation. We're just having fun. I'm thinking, that's good.
But you're screwing me up. I'm working right now.
And I'm like, I just sat there and I looked at him. And meanwhile, I'm pulling more and more bait up as I would just wait for him. And then actually at one point, he was coming up and I'm looking at him. He's from like 5 feet from my boat with the wind blowing kind of at us. I think he's going to hit my boat. And I just jumped and I seen the bait. And right when he goes to back up and throw, I just sling like the 12-footer over the hole marker. And whack it. He throws right over the top of my. I was like, he's already chummed the bait up. He's about to blow it out again. And it's just like, come on, man. And all this. And they didn't get one piece of bait.
Well, of course.
No. I tell you, they were backing up to the marker. The dude's boat is like, with the exhaust and jet drive, is like 2 foot from the marker.
That's not good.
And actually, one side, because I was on the other corner of the marker, I think he actually blew the bait
to you
with the exhaust and the prop wash into my net because I really whacked it one time.
So you should be thanking him, Jason.
I'm just like, come on, man. Here's the deal, guys. Etiquette. A couple things you need to catch bait, especially when it's colder. As it gets colder, your bait's going to move deeper. It's going to move to deeper depths on the water, and it's going to go to the bottom on the shallower markers. There's an easy way to chum it up. Go to Ace. I'm going to say Ace is by my house. Go to any feed store, get you Purina 45. There's also a product out there called M80 Chum that you can buy at Dick's or anything else like that. It's a little more expensive. All works great. Chum your bait to the surface. Take your time. Buy a 10 to 12 foot net. Don't buy an 8-footer. Don't buy a 6-footer. And I don't want to hear that I can't throw it. Figure it out. Because when you throw the 6-footer, you're throwing it wrong. It's
a 6-footer is harder to throw than an 8.
It is.
Harder to throw than a 10.
Go invest the money. Chum and a net, and understand that because you have a 4-stroke and it sounds quiet on top,
it ain't quiet.
The exhaust is actually underneath the water. This is such a big misconception. Yeah. It's surprising how people do not know this. That 2-4-stroke is just about as loud as a 2-stroke under the water. It really is. If you don't believe me,
go under the water and listen.
Well, either do that or hook your hose up and crank your 4-stroke up in your driveway. So when you back down on a marker,
you're making a lot of noise down there.
Yes.
Here's a couple little
and
tricks.
And if you blow them out with the bubbles.
Yeah, if you, when you start goosing at a marker and you throw all that water because you're about to hit the marker, you came in hot, and you reverse it real hard or go forward or whatever, what you're doing is you're pushing, you're spooking all that bait away from the marker and scattering it. What happens is if you do this time after time, or if you throw a four-foot net 80 times at the same marker, the bait spooks out away from the marker. When you typically come to a marker, it is stacked on the marker, which means you can throw. You can chum them up, throw them, be done. My recommendation, not unless the tide's really ripping, is to anchor up, chum, take your time. The other thing you also do in the springtime is when you anchor up, you kind of mark your spot. So the guys that are rodeoing, they're going to have to wait. You're done. Right. When you start rodeoing, you throw once. If you don't get it, the guy's coming right behind you. Now, I will tell you that the rodeoing thing, it works. I don't personally like to do it. But when you do it, you really need to understand how to drive your boat. Look at the wind direction. Look at the tide direction. Know when to throw your net. Trust me, it's hard. It's not easy even for us when you have a ripping tide and a marker. You're going to lose more nets doing it that way. And you might wreck them into the marker and do a lot of damage. So you need to understand your boat, understand what you're doing out there, have the proper tools, because not only are you going to screw it up for yourself and not get bait, the people that are out there trying to get bait, you're going to mess them up too. And it's just a lot of educating yourself before you get out there. If you can't throw a 10-foot net or a 12-foot net, my recommendation is don't go to a marker, because the chances of getting bait with an 8-foot net,
it's tough.
About 10% of the time you're going to actually be able to get bait. It just doesn't happen. It's deep water. The fish will outswim the net. So there's just a lot of things that I think, and I've said this on the show before, and I'll keep saying it, because I think that the more that we can try to educate people, the better off we all are.
Right.
I don't need to say that, hey, I'm the best cast net person out there because I know all the secrets. How about I share the secrets with you and you do it the right way, and then we all get bait.
100%.
So that's how it's just, this guy was bad. I mean, he's like 2 feet. I started being concerned with the way he was coming in and the wind was blowing him. And I haven't driven a jet boat, but I don't think they have the control that a regular outboard has. I thought he was going to hit my boat at one point. I'm thinking, man, so I was kind of getting ready to get a brush and stick. I mean, he was getting that close. And I honestly don't think he was being a prick. I just don't think he knew.
He just didn't know. Right.
But I was kind of telling him, you know, you're not going to, I told him, you're not going to bait with that. Like, I'm watching. And he's throwing it. He's not even open the 6-footer.
Right.
You might kill a bait by hitting him like a shotgun with a lead.
That's a losing proposition there.
Yeah.
Did you give him any when you got done?
Actually, he finally gave up.
And left.
I told him, I said, the bait's deep, man. You're not going to get it doing that.
Yeah.
Because he was messing me up.
Yeah.
And then I just said, well, they're not going to learn. And it actually started pushing the bait towards me more, which is rare. Usually they just blow the whole marker out. But, dude, go on YouTube, guys. There's plenty of ways to learn how to throw a net. I mean, you know, you don't have to get the net exactly pancake. But the other thing, too, with the bigger nets, you need the weight. Sometimes it's not. If you can take that 12-footer and throw it 70%, the weight is going to get it down that
bait. I think sometimes the lesser, or the, I don't know what word I'm looking for, the not as good of throws sink faster.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because you get that parachute effect.
When you spread that net out, man, you have more resistance in the water. Like we were talking about the other day, Rick, and one of the things was that, you know, a lot of times, too, you know, you're talking about getting bait at the mark or whatever. You got to remember that the longer you sit there, the more the conditions change. Mm-hmm. So where you threw, if you're sitting there and it takes you, let's say, a half hour, maybe even 45 minutes to get bait, and you're sitting there chumming, you're going to notice the tides either going to pick up or it's going to slow down. And as you're throwing and you're throwing at that marker, you may have to increasingly move your position where you throw off the boat.
And that's what we did yesterday.
And that's what we did the other day. And there was a couple times where I opened the net up so much, and not as a bragging point, but I opened the net up so much that I had to pull it in, because the bigger you open it, the more resistance you have going down in the water, and it'll actually sink slower. And so we were getting too close to the marker, and we had to, you know, kind of pull it in quicker. So,
well, a 12 footer,
there's a lot of stuff to kind of figure out when you're out there catching bait on the markers.
A 12 footer is not always better. And good example is if you're at the Skyway Bridge getting bait between the pilings
there's times where I'll half throw my 12 footer.
Mm-hmm. Because so you, down
you can't.
Them.
Well, because you can't control that net is so big, and you're in a confined area that you can't place it like a 10 footer.
Especially if you're throwing in between two spans.
Right.
Because that 12 footer is about the length of the span.
Sometimes when I'm under the bridge throwing in a span, I'll actually sometimes because I like to throw the net high to get it open because I'm a little bit shorter. So it takes me a little bit. I got to put the net up high and get it out. And sometimes when I'm under the bridge, I got to short strike it because if not, I end up hitting the top of the bridge trying to get the net completely
open. I've done that
open.
Before.
You know what I mean? And then you end up, you know, it tangles and does whatever it does. But a 10 to 12 is definitely what you need. If you're trying to get bait on any kind of depth, I would say over, you know, 6 foot. If you're on the edge of a flat or something like that, you're right there on the borderline. But once you start to step out there into deep water land, you need to get a big net. And like you said, the size of the net and the weight of the net are probably the two most important things.
Look at when you guys go to purchase a net, look at the pounds per foot.
Yeah.
1.8 is a good number to look at. 1.8, 1.7 pounds per foot is a good number to go by. It's going to be a heavy net. If you're going on the flats, you don't want the heavy net.
No.
You want a lighter net.
I use the humpback. I tell you what's cool about the humpback. We're running out of time here, but the humpback cast net from Lee Fisher, Tama Fishing Outfitters, they have two different flavors of it. They actually have a shallow water version. And I've got a 10-foot heavy and I've got a 10-foot shallow for in the spring. And it's a really nice net for throwing on grass flats because you might not get quite as much bait even though you throw over a big school, but you're not getting hardly any of the grass when you pull it up because it kind of skims across the grass as opposed to pulling
and
it up.
You can throw that net.
And you can chuck and chuck and
chuck.
You
can throw that net and 50 times and not get tired.
Yeah, absolutely. But, well, that's good stuff, man. And we got one more segment coming up here, Jay.
I told you it wasn't going to be that bad.
It wasn't bad.
Considering the guy was hitting my boat three times.
I would have liked to heard he crashed into your boat and then you ended up giving him bait and you told him how.
Listen, that guy crashed in my boat. I might give him a hard time, but I ain't giving him bait.
Got his number.
His number. Y'all had a few beers afterwards.
Yeah.
Maybe
a beer bottle over the head might have been in. Well, guys, let's take a little break. We get back when we get the captain's tip of the week, and we're going to talk more fishing. Listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10 for the team. We'll be right back.
People who have rooms of people that they love one day, stocks away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You're living on the psychopath sitting next to you. You're living on the murderer sitting next to you. You think I'd get this sitting next to you.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohero's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohero fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohero fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
There's a lot of clutter in digital advertising for marketers. Just look at what you see when viewing your favorite web publications and social media. What's a marketer to do? How about hiring your own media production company for a fraction of the cost? United Cities Productions will produce video, digital ads, press releases, YouTube video, and more for your company. It's a strategy that will increase your SEO, your Google ranking, and build your brand where it'll be effective. If you have the marketing of a business with a strategy that needs media production at a fraction of the price, contact a business strategist at UnitedCitiesProductions.com. It's time to think of a better way. Video production for your company is a viable solution for digital media. Go to UnitedCitiesProductions.com to check out what many innovative companies are implementing. It's time to use all the resources of a media department without the high cost. Beat your competitors. It's time. United Cities will help you do that. UnitedCitiesProductions.com is your partner for helping you create content. It's the strategy that helps local businesses break out above the crowd. Contact a business strategist today at UnitedCitiesProductions.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Twitter. Tweet it.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040 The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerpole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
And welcome back, Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show on Sports Talk, 10-4 to the team. Myself, Captain Travis Jekyll in the studio.
Hey, hey, hey.
Princess Prieto. The Snow Princess?
The Snow
is
Princess.
Back.
How did I get that title?
And Big Rick, a.k.a. the Wind Dancer.
And we're talking fishing, guys. We're talking about spring is right around the corner. Spring is almost here. I'm curious to see what happens in the next 2 weeks. I always say in the guide business, February 15th is the date that I say the charters are coming. We're going to get flooded within that range.
Hang on,
yeah.
Hold tight, baby.
We're going to be busy to our ears.
I'll tell you,
and that's where spring kind of kicks off.
We had a curveball a few years ago with 2010, 11.
That was a big curve.
That
was major league curve right there.
Yeah, that was the only time I think I've used shrimp in March.
That was tough. That was.
Thank God for Big Black Drum, because
that's where I was getting ready to say.
No doubt.
I want to talk about those for a minute, because we're getting close to that, and I wonder. If I actually got a little bit of word that there's been some fish moving in out there, so I'm kind of excited to go check out.
Before you get to the drum, which that was that's fun, but before you get to that, 2010, as bad as it was, it had some good things because it weeded out.
Yes.
It weeded out some guys that I'm not going to say shouldn't have been in the business, but they did not represent well, which I basically shouldn't have been in the business. But we weeded out some guys that didn't represent us as a captain brotherhood.
The guys.
We
always get that.
Yeah,
but that was tough, man. I remember 2010. I finally caught a snook in April, and I caught the snook. And I swear to you, it looked like the stomach was caved in on the fish, and the eyeballs were popping out of his head.
Yeah.
And it just looked like it had been starving. Like it had eaten. It was really depressing.
Jason and I ran a double. That it was either 2010 or 2011 in the summer. We ran a double trip for a two boat deal, and we get back to the dock, and the guys had left, and we had caught on my boat. Four or five snook. I mean, not many. And I think, Jason, you guys had done about the same. And I told Jason when they drove off, I said, do you want to hear something crazy? I said, that guy offered me $500 above and beyond the cost of the trip if he could keep that. It's like a 24-inch snook. And
jeez.
This was like in July. They weren't even in season. And I told him, well, they wouldn't even, you know, they never even opened the season. But I told the guy, you know, no, and explained to him why and all that kind of stuff. And Jason said, same exact thing happened to me. A guy on the, when they, all these guys were together, they come in from Chicago. No reflection, Chicago, but they're too busy killing each other. But both of these, I think they were like mafioso or something. I don't know. But they were offering, and
they,
Jason
they
said, yeah, they offered me the same thing. The guy offered me $500.
I'll give you $500.
Yeah, so you mean some big extra $500, I can't get the fish? I said, no. He goes, why?
I said, because. We've lost 70% of our fish.
Yeah.
Why am I going to kill these fish
Well, there wasn't even a season. I mean, it was like, it's, yeah. First of all, he's not big enough that it wasn't a season.
Right.
Second of all, there is no season.
Third of all, they're all dead. I didn't know if I was ever going to catch Smith again like I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, I will tell you, the one thing 2010 did for me as a fisherman, as a guide, when I have a 30 snook day,
I appreciate it a little more, don't you?
I honestly appreciate it.
Yeah.
I honestly say that this is how it used to be, and this is something. And I will tell you right now, I am a snook fisherman.
Yes.
I catch everything, but I like catching snook.
Yeah.
I think there's no more joy than catching snook. Small, big, I just think that they have a unique.
They do.
They have a unique thing about them.
I think I treat them a little kinder now, too, with, you know, de-hooking them and that kind of thing. Not,
yeah,
just kind of a little
good
more
thing about
them.
Snook, though, them things, man, they're not trout. They're
No, they're hardy, but tough. I just kind of appreciate them more.
Yeah, but when you have them good days,
yeah.
I mean, we went a year or two without, I mean, it was 2010, yeah. 2011, 2012 I started catching decent fish. I would tell you in 2013, I didn't catch numbers. That I call a lot of big snook.
Big snook.
And I know what it was.
Fish
the slot was closed,
yeah.
And we didn't have the small fish. The small fish were like 10, 12 inches. So all we had was the mediocre ones and the big ones. And I caught a lot more big snook.
Yeah.
And as the numbers increased through the years, it's, you know, the big ones have kind of thinned out. But back to what I was saying, we're not really having a winter, so to speak.
No.
We're having cold spurts, but water is 73, 74 degrees today on my bottom machine. It got up to 73, so I don't think we're really going to have a winter. You know, I almost wonder, though, is it going to take away from our March fishing a little bit? Because these fish, they're not going to be as hungry because there's already been bait thrown at them.
Right.
There's, you know, I'm curious to see how it goes. I think it'll be good, but it's almost good to have, like, 3 or 4 weeks of cold.
Yeah.
Like last year, we got from second week of January to the second week of February, we got hammered.
Mm.
I mean, my charter business shows that I canceled 12 trips in that span, you know, and it was slow. But come March, it was game on.
It was a good bite last March.
So, you know, I'm curious to see how this year goes. But, you know, 2017 has been a good year.
Well, hit us up with the drum over there, Travis. You're itching, I know.
Well, I was just saying, you know, for me, middle of February, March, Mark's big drum. I mean, that's when they generally will find the big mud slick, the big mud rip, and we'll go fish on some big drum. And I got word from a buddy of mine that fishes over in the St. Pete area that they didn't find a big school of drum, but they ended up finding some drum, and they caught quite a few of them. And
well, the smaller school sometimes is better.
Yeah. Yeah. He said there was about 20 fish, and they were working a particular bar that we like
awesome.
To fish. And it was kind of funny because, you know, normally when you start doing that, you're still in a jacket. You're still, you know, you normally got a live well full of shrimp, and we're throwing jigs at them, you know. Typically wouldn't go get white bait or whatever.
Or snatch hooks.
You know, or you know, how
we know that guy.
Guys now be shooting them with bow and arrow. But anyway, so that was kind of cool. And there's February 17th kind of rings the bell for me. And when I get around that date, I kind of think about going out there looking for black drum.
What's your date?
February 17th.
So we got the 14th, the 15th, and the 17th.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's just kind of, I don't know, it's just ingrained in my memory. I had a really good day about 4 years ago. And I caught, actually, it was with Captain Danny Garino. I went out with him, and we caught, like, six of them. One of them had to have been... close to 65 pounds. I mean, just mooses. And I know that, like I said, this time of year is when they generally show up, and it's a really cool fish to go catch, especially for clients. You know, they catch that big fish. They're normally, you can see them for the most part.
It just got too crazy out there.
It does.
A few years back.
Gets real crazy.
It got too much like tarpon fishing in Boca.
Yeah, and, you know, people were driving trolling snatch hooks through the school. It's like,
yeah.
Come on, that's
a little. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
Oh, is
this
that kind of John boat?
Yes,
he would run through the school with a John boat with a. He had like a treble hook snatch hook, and I was like, I think I
told Rick,
I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, people get ridiculous. Like just
a lot of
times, you know, a lot of times in fish, you know, people claim that they eat the jig and all that stuff.
Yeah, they ate it right through the dorsal fin or something.
Yeah, or stuck on the side of their face. You know what I mean? A lot of times, they're so tightly packed, and they're such a big animal that they don't get out of the way very quick, and you drag a big jig through them. A lot of times you'll hook them on the side of the face and stuff like that, but real fun fish to catch, and like I said, just February kind of marks that, you know, date for me, and so it's something that I'm probably going to, I don't know, go poke out and look and see if maybe I can find a little pod of them or something to play with, but other than that, I'll kind of go ahead and lead in. We're just about done with the show, but I'm going to throw a captain's tip of the week out there and just say...
charge your batteries.
Oh, make sure you charge your batteries.
He said you're going to throw that in there.
Big Rick had to come...
Hey, that was just for us. You don't even need to go nowhere with it. You said it on the air.
Well, you got it on the air, so now
that's
open.
Big Rick, that's an attaboy. That was just coming. If you got a boat, keep your batteries charged.
Big Rick come and save me the other day. A lot of the fishing we've been doing is in the same spot.
I told on yourself.
We've been trolling around, hanging in the same spot. We fished for about 5 hours without ever cranking the motor.
The old Triton wouldn't fire off.
The old Triton, she was... It actually wasn't a Triton. It was the daggum interstate battery. But
The old interstate battery.
But anyway, sir, I give my hats off. Old America. The Big Rick.
That was supposed to be our little secret.
Well, guys, it's been a good show. We appreciate you tuning in on our Facebook live feed, also on 1040 if it's Sunday morning for you. We would hope that you guys tune in next week. We're going to get some more guests scheduled in. We got Captain Charlie Phillips is going to be coming and talking Florida Guides and other, among other stuff, March 2nd, I think it is. That first week,
yes.
First Wednesday of March, we'll have him in the studio live talking, and we're getting ready for the regional meeting. So anyhow, guys, you listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters, and until next week, tight lines, and go catch them up.
The team. WHBO Vanilla Sports. Smarter sports. Better sports. Pure sports. Sports Talk 1040. The team.